Every human being has an inherited right to speak, to be heard, and to be understood. Each of us has three unchangeable, undeniable core needs: to belong, to be worthy, to be competent. When one of these three is out of balance, we begin to condemn ourselves and judge others, place unhealthy stress on our bodies, our relationships with ourselves, friends and family, and even our life work are judged. The power of words and the intent of our questions are the first steps to our peaceful and prosperous now and future. Call in and let's create choices for your destiny. 888-627-6008.
Welcome to the Lunda S. Brewer, Your Destiny Architect Show. The intent of our show is for you to have an opportunity to call in and ask a question about a conflict in your life, whether it be in a relationship with yourself, your spouse, your children, a coworker, a family member, or someone you call friend. Our enemy. If you have any conflict in your life about your health, your finances, or your life work, please call us this evening and let's discuss choices for you to move in to peace. 888-627-6008. We do have with us tonight our guest. We have made that connection. So, Michael, welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Appreciate being on your show.
Yes, sorry we had that little snafu there, but we will move forward now.
Oh, and well, Mike, it ends well.
That's right, absolutely. And our guest is Michael Heider, who has a degree in engineering. He has served our country in the Air Force. He has served our country as a trial lawyer, attorney, and on the Supreme Court of California. And so after 30 years, he recently retired, and he authored a book, Spiritual Healing, Making Peace with Your Past. And this is published by Tate Publishing. And his message that he wishes to share with us tonight is to bring an enduring peace of mind, the greatest treasure in the world, to people with troubled souls, regardless of what happened in their past, their present situation, and their prospects for the future. And tonight we will be discussing, Michael will be sharing many things with us. And so remember, you have the opportunity to call in and ask a question at 888-627-6008. And Michael has given me permission to call him Mike. So, Mike, again, welcome. And share with us how one goes from what I call so much intellectual work, of being a trial attorney and being in the military and working with the people that you did, to going on that journey of finding your peace of mind. And was there a moment in time that you knew that it was time for you to move through into the season you're in now?
Yes, I would say there definitely was. As you noted, I was in the Air Force, and I spent a lot of time out at the Nevada test site blowing up atomic bombs. And at nighttime, you'd think about, what am I doing here? Am I interested in mass destruction? And I eventually got to thinking about, what is the most important thing in life? And that's a pretty important question when you think about it. And so after much reading, much introspection, much studying and getting these degrees, I came to the conclusion that the most important thing in life is enduring peace of mind, that inner peace that everybody wants, but so many people just don't have a clue how to get it. And as I thought about this more and more, it became obvious to me that internally there's two gigantic forces that affect us. One is what I'm going to call God I, G-O-D hyphen I, and the other one is Satan I, S-A-T-A-N hyphen I. There's got to be a source for all of our good, positive thoughts that we have. And I'm convinced that that source is God I. There also has to be a source, obviously, for all of the self-defeating thoughts we have that really cause us problems. And I call that force or source that's within us Satan I. Now, feel free to put any religious ramifications on either of those, God I or Satan I. All that's important is to know that from the moment of conception, I am convinced we have a Satan I and a God I within us. And they are battling for control of our mind. Clearly, that is an important battle, and look how often it's lost. We think about people like Marilyn Monroe and just recently Robin Williams and all these superstars who have fame and fortune who kill themselves. It's because they dwell on the Satan I negative thoughts, the negative thoughts that are put in their mind by the negative force within them. So it became obvious to me that how am I going to have the greatest treasure in the world, which is enduring peace of mind, that inner peace, how am I going to have that? And the more time I spent dwelling on that and taking my courses in philosophy and psychology, it became obvious that the only way that you're going to have inner peace is to destroy all the Satan I negative thoughts that come into your mind and dwell only on the God I positive thoughts. So, if you will allow me, I would like to conduct just a very, very short experiment to drive my point home.
Can sure, we do that? Go right ahead, please. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, you know the thesis I've got here is about God I positive thoughts, God I or Satan I negative thoughts. So I'm going to ask you and your audience that please close your eyes for a moment, put your heads down, and I'm going to put into your mind some of the God I positive thoughts. For example, I want you to think about how excited you were when you got your first car, how excited you were when you moved into your first apartment, how excited you were when you got your first meaningful job, how you felt on the day that you fell in love, how you felt on the day you were engaged, how beautiful or handsome you looked on your wedding day. Think about the day that your first child was born, and think about cuddling that child for the first time. Think about the happiest day of your life. Okay, eyes open, head up. Now, those are all God I positive thoughts. And tell me, how did you feel when you dwelt on those thoughts?
Mike, I realized how much I had really missed in life. And right. So, but there was still that peace that although they may not have been exciting days for me, they were certainly, they're days to cherish of the ones that I've had. And they are great introspect questions, and they do take you from your mind to that core of your being. So thank you.
Right.
And if our audience have any questions or anything they would like to share, please call 888-627-6008. And thank you for that journey.
All right. Well, you may not thank me when we finish the experiment. I'd like to go to stage two of the experiment now. What I'm going to ask you and your audience to do is, once again, close your eyes, drop your head down, and think about these Satan I negative thoughts. I want you to dwell upon when you were physically abused, when you were mentally abused, the most horrible thing you ever did, most horrible thing that ever happened to you? The horrible divorce that you may have gone through. The worst day of your life. Think about what a complete schmuck you are. Okay, eyes open, heads up. How do those thoughts make you feel?
They are thought-provoking, and they put a, for the first set of questions, there was a sense of peace and hope. Those questions make you really realize how dark your world could be if you've just experienced one of those things. So it words are so powerful, and they do have so much on us, and how these words can be freeing. So thank you for those questions.
All right.
Yes.
Now, here's what's so important, and I hope your audience can grasp this. There are very few things in life that we are absolutely certain of. But we now know, and I've done this experiment hundreds of times, we know with absolute certainty, beyond any doubt whatsoever, that if you dwell upon a God-eye positive thought, you will, without exception, feel positive. Conversely, we know with absolute certainty, beyond any doubt whatsoever, that if you dwell upon a Satan-eye negative thought, you will, without exception, feel negative. That is so important to grasp that concept. So I've joined those two concepts together with a statement that, quote, it is absolutely impossible for you to dwell upon a God-eye positive thought and feel negative. Conversely, it is absolutely impossible for you to dwell upon a Satan-eye negative thought and feel positive. So putting those together, you get the type of thought I choose to dwell upon in the present moment determines how I feel in the present moment. That's absolutely inescapable, and so important for your audience to grab that. The type of thought I choose to dwell upon in the present moment determines how I feel in the present moment. So if I dwell on a positive thought, I feel positive. Negative thought, negative. Now, let's come to a reasonable conclusion for the experiment that was just conducted. That reasonable conclusion should be, obviously, if I do want to have inner peace, if I do want what I call enduring peace of mind, then I dwell only on the God-eye positive thoughts, and I eliminate or obliterate all of the Satan-eye negative thoughts that my Satan-eye is pushing into my mind. So the obvious question becomes, how do we do that? So I've come up with a little acronym that makes it easier to remember the methodology, SOAP. And SOAP is S-O-A-P. S stands for stop, O stands for obliterate, A stands for alter, and P stands for praise. So what you must do, and this is absolutely necessary if you want that deep inner peace, is every time you realize that you're dwelling upon a Satan-eye negative thought, you've got to say stop, obliterate, stab the thought, hit it with a hammer, whatever you want, alter it into a good eye positive thought, and then praise a higher power that you're able to do that. So you soap away all of these negative thoughts. You dwell only on the God eye positive thoughts. And I guarantee you this works because I've been doing it for decades and decades, and a lot of my people have bought into my system here. They've been doing the same things and say it just saves their life. It really is the only way to live.
And I love your word image there, or word picture, because soap is something that we pick up four or five times a day, and just to have that image of, hey, give me a bar of soap and let me wash this away. So do you have an experience around how that has impacted your life that you could share with us?
Oh, yeah, I definitely have. But been probably now about close to 25 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. There were six samples taken. All six were malignant. They didn't think I would last. And every time I was obsessed with a negative Satanite thought, I would soap that thought away. I didn't allow any negative thoughts to come into my mind during that time for several years. I got radiation. I got mild chemo. And 25 years later, here I am. I just absolutely refused to dwell on any negative thoughts about dying. And I dwelt on good, positive thoughts. You know, I had so much going for me that it was easy for me to dwell on those positive thoughts. And I'm absolutely convinced, and people in that situation, if you're filled with anxiety and you're afraid to die, all the energy in your body goes to fighting the anxiety. It doesn't go at all to fighting the disease. And I think since I had peace of mind, and I can tell you, I had absolute peace of mind throughout this whole process. I was very positive in my attitudes and very positive with people I met. And I am absolutely convinced that all of the energy in my body went to fighting the cancer because I didn't have any anxiety about, oh, I'm going to die. What a terrible thing. And I've talked to other people who use this methodology that have similar experiences.
And so thank you for sharing that, Mike, because today it seems our world is rapid, and it's probably just our communication and ability to stay in tune with everything. But I've had several friends that have just this past year gone through some type of cancer and radiation, and it's a journey. And so I will certainly use your soap process to encourage them just to take that bath of those great God eye thoughts. And I love your concept. You know, you're using it to heal your body instead of using your thoughts to heal your body instead of tearing it down. So we are blessed that you have done this and you are willing to share it. So we appreciate you being here doing this for us this evening.
Well, the pleasure is entirely mine, please believe me, because I get great satisfaction from so many of the comments that people get back to me after they read my book, or that I see them years after I've talked to them at some public speaking. Things like one lady said, thank you for giving my life back to me. That's pretty powerful testimony. So, no, yeah. The pleasure is mine. What I would like to do, so that I hopefully will cement this in your audience's mind, is go through seven steps about how this should all be processed and what we know with absolute certainty, so there can be no doubt. So if you would allow me to do that, I'd like to go through these seven steps.
And so let me take this opportunity to say, in about 3 minutes, we're going to need to take a sponsor break.
Okay.
So if we can just keep that in mind to honor our sponsor and their message, that would be great. But yes, please do, Mike.
Okay. I'll rely upon you to tell me when the 3 minutes are up.
Okay. So, I will do that. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so let's go through these seven steps that are so important. And it's actually the conclusion that's so important. Okay, first of all, we know that the source of our every positive, rich, good, uplifting thought is the God I living within each of us. We know that. We know, second, that the source of our every negative, untoward, evil, self-defeating thought is from your Satan I living within you. And we know that they are battling for control of our mind. We know who won the battle for Hitler. We know the thoughts he dwelt on, the superpower and the Aryan race. And we know the type of thoughts that Mother Teresa won on out there helping people, picking up almost dead people out of the gutters. So we know those two things. the source of the thoughts. Third, we know with absolute certainty, again, as our experiment proved, that if we dwell upon God eye positive thoughts, then you feel positive. We proved that. That can't possibly be contradicted. Fourth thing we know with absolute certainty, as our experiment proved, that if you dwell upon Satan eye negative thoughts, you feel negative. Absolutely. The fifth thing we know is that by using soap, I can control the type of thought I dwell upon, which means that you're able to control your feelings in the present moment, since your present moment feeling is determined by the type of thought that you're dwelling upon in the present moment. The sixth step, therefore you know that since you alone are responsible for the type of thought you choose to dwell upon in the present moment, that determines your feeling in the present moment, then you must, whether you like it or not, accept full responsibility for how you feel in the present moment. In other words, your responsibility for your feelings every moment of your life, since you're responsible for what type of thought you dwell upon every moment of your life. So the seventh step and the final conclusion, this is so important. I'll give you one of the greatest of all good life truths. I call these in my book, Good Life Truths. 14 words which will change your life if you'll practice it. And that good life truth is, quote, I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life, end quote. Again, I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life. And once you accept that you are responsible for how you feel every conscious moment of your life, it will change your life forever. I guarantee it. Yvette.
That is a perfect timing for our sponsor break, Mike.
Okay,
so Mike,
let's take it.
Mike will be back with us, and I think it would be great to start out with that one more time. And remember to call us at 888-627-6008 with any questions or comments. Stay tuned. Mike and I will be back.
Have you ever caught yourself thinking, what is wrong with me? What is the belief that stops me? I know I have amazing potential locked inside and an incredible destiny waiting now. The unhealthy belief, which is always rooted in a lie, do I belong? Am I worthy? Am I competent? Which creates an unhealthy relationship with oneself and others. Stress within and between. Battles of self-worth and value, anxieties and past failures all have the potential to lead us into a skewed view of what is a healthy relationship. Connect now with Linda Brewer to discover your belief that is stopping you from creating the destiny you were born to live. You speak, you are heard, you choose your destiny. Visit her at lsgcorporate.com.
Welcome back to the Linda S. Brewer, Your Destiny Architect Show. And we're honored tonight to have Mike Heider with us, an extremely talented, gifted individual. And he has just shared with us seven very important points that you can sum it up. I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life. Mike, take it away and tell us more about your life-changing work.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. That's a real big commitment to make, but it will change your life. When you stop blaming other people or anything else that comes into your mind, including, as I pointed out, the cancer that I had, when you stop blaming other people or anything that comes into your life for the way you feel, you've made the big step necessary to have enduring peace of mind or inner peace that I talk about. I've had several radio hosts who have told me that they were going to type those 14 words out and put it on a bathroom mirror. And I really encourage everybody to do that because I thought that was an excellent idea. Read that over and over and over every day, and it will change your life. I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life. When you do that, then you don't blame anybody else for how you feel, and you take the responsibility for your own feelings. So,
was there a moment in time that congealed for you? I was thinking, you know, with your experience with in the trial, attorney trial, and then sitting on the bench and then working with Nuclear, how did that come together to be so real for you?
That's an easy one to answer. It came together when I saw all of these people. I did more than my share of murder cases and vehicular manslaughter cases and things of that nature. And without exception, people that do things like that don't have a clue that they are responsible for every action that they make. It's always easy to blame somebody else. That is so common, especially on the criminal side of the law. And even on the civil side of the law, it's very common. But the more horrendous the event, it seems, the more that they want to blame this on somebody else. Yeah. If you're not willing to accept that you are totally responsible for your feelings because you're totally responsible for the thoughts you dwell upon, then you will not have peace. It's impossible for you to have inner peace. It can't be done.
You know, Jay and Katie Hendricks.
Pardon me?
I studied a lot under Gay and Katie Hendricks, and they talk about taking responsibility and truth and things. And Gay went to a prison one time, and he said if he could ever get the prisoners to admit the truth that they were responsible and they did it, their life changed forever. So as you were speaking, it reminded me, just be truthful with yourself and responsible, and you do have that peace of mind. So thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Well, you're very, very welcome. I just hope that people will accept this and will adopt it so that they can have the inner peace that I've had for so long. And it's just so delightful when you stop blaming other people for the way you feel. It's a whole different world. Yeah. I would like to make a comment, if I might, about talking about
sure.
the nature of the past, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, good. Thank you. Because I think that this is also very, very enlightening. And the first point I would like to talk about the nature of the past, and this is so important to grasp this also, is that the past does not exist anywhere in the entire cosmos. The past, it's a dead thing. It doesn't exist. Past events don't exist anywhere in the entire universe. They are truly non-existent. Whatever happened to you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or this morning doesn't exist anywhere in the entire universe. To drive my point home, I want you to think about a unicorn. Now, you can have thoughts about a unicorn. But you know a unicorn does not exist anywhere in the universe and therefore cannot hurt you. At least rational people know that. And you'd be so foolish if you let the thought of a non-existent past event hurt you, because those past events are like unicorns. They don't exist. Past events do not exist, and you'd be very foolish if you allowed the thought of a non-existent past event to hurt you in the present moment. So I don't care if it was molestation, I don't care what it was, it's absolutely essential for your well-being to unequivocally realize that it's impossible for anything that does not exist, including unicorns and past events, to hurt me in the present moment. It can't happen. So what's the problem? It's not the past event. It's only your Satan eye negative thinking about a non-existent past event that can hurt you in the present moment. So what's the solution? Go back to obliterate. Kill, kill, kill all Satan eye negative stinking thinking thoughts about these non-existent past nasty events. You know that you've got complete control over the thoughts your memory feeds into your mind, and therefore you know that you can choose to keep the God eye positive thoughts about your past, and you can choose is such a big word, to obliterate all Satan eye negative thoughts about your past. And that will bring you enduring peace of mind. So I can't stress enough, the past events, once they're over and done, they're over and done. They can't hurt you. People think it's the event that's hurting them. It's not the event that's hurting them. It's thinking about the event that's hurting them. Okay, point number two that I'd like to make is that past events can never be changed. And although this doesn't happen 100% of the time, I had so many people across my life as an attorney and even as a judge that had the attitude that, oh, I wish I could change this. Well, you don't even think about it. You have to say past events are unchangeable. If you possessed all the money in the world, money of the Gates, the Buffetts, the Rockefellers, Kennedys, Trumps, and put it all together, you can't change the past one sliver. And if you had all the power in the world, all the armies, navies, air forces, you can't change the past one smidgen. So you just got to get those Satan eye thoughts. It's Satan eye that wants you to think about, oh, if I could go back and undo that thing I did. Well, you can't. And rational people understand that, but you can't become obsessed with the idea of wanting to change it. Now, the third thing, and this is, I think, extremely interesting, and I have people that want to take me to task on this third point, but when I get done explaining it to them, I think they understand. All past events are feelingless. They have absolutely no feelings in and of themselves. A past event has no feelings in and of itself. And you say to me, Mike, that can't possibly be true. When my father died, I was crushed. When my mother died, I was devastated. When I lost my only child because of a drunk driver, I was horrified. Those events are life-changing. How can you say they're feelingless? Well, I say they're feelingless because they are feelingless. You bring the feelings to the event because of your relationship to the event. Let's think about it for a moment. Let's think about Hitler. Okay. How did the Allies feel when Hitler committed suicide? How do you think they felt?
Relieved.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good word. Absolutely relieved. If you're the number one man under Hitler, how do you think he felt?
Abandoned.
Absolutely. Very good. Those are good words. Relieved and abandoned. So Hitler's death, in and of itself, had absolutely no feelings. The Allies were relieved. The Third Reich felt abandoned. JFK had a lot of enemies. Most of the people mourned. For those of, I hope the audience has enough old enough people to remember who JFK was. But when John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated, most of the country was absolutely grief-stricken. But they were, his enemies, ungodly, were elated. Osama bin Laden, same thing. You know, we thought it was great, and it provided us with relief. I like your word. But on the other side, nothing but grief-stricken. Take a farmer. A farmer in the United States has to have his crop come through and be a successful crop with great yield so that he can save his home and farm, which is going under foreclosure, so he needs the money. Okay, the crop fails. It's hit by drought and dries up, and he has nothing. And he loses his home because of the crop failure. Now, that sounds like it has bad feeling, but you're the farmer on the other side of the world growing the same crop, and now there's a paucity of product so that your crop now commands 50% more than you ever expected to get. How do you think that farmer is going to feel?
Elated and blessed.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I love the words you pick. I really do. Yeah, exactly right. What a blessing, because his farm was going to go into foreclosure also, but now it's not, and he's got plenty of money. So I can't convince people, usually very hard when I say all past events are feelingless, because we do bring the feeling to the event. But when you say to somebody who's been molested that that event had no feeling, you bring it to the feeling to the event. They don't want to swallow that, but it really, really is true.
And it's the belief that we form about these events that really carry on. How would you respond to that, Mike?
I'm sorry. It's the belief that we have that.
It's the belief that we form either about ourselves or our opportunities in life. Say, for instance, you have a crop failure and you've got 10 kids to feed. And so that farmer develops a belief or feeling that he's a failure and he can't support his family, and he feeds that on to his children. So we have this generation that's carrying on these beliefs and this fear, and they think it's feelings, but in the past is controlling them instead of letting it go and saying that was an experience and it will no longer control me.
Yeah, exactly right. No, that's exactly right. I think it's also very dramatic, and I see this all the time on television when you have the contrast. The thalidomide babies back in the 50s that had no arms, and now they're 50 years old, those people. Now, most of you are going to say, geez, if I'm a thalidomide baby, I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to be absolutely crushed. Well, you're crushed only if you let the Satan eye thoughts crush you. I saw a clip on TV where one gentleman with no arms had the drumsticks in his toes, and he's playing the drums at a rapid rate. It was just absolutely beautiful. Another gentleman had no arms, thalidomide baby. He puts a guitar on the floor, and he plays with his toes, and it, too, was very beautiful. They had a female painter who was painting beautiful pictures. Another person, another female, was picking up a bowl with her feet and drinking out of the bowl. And you see things like that, and you say, well, if you buy into my Satan eye and God eye thinking, which I think you have to, I think the experiment proved that, these people refused to dwell on any Satan eye negative thought, and they dwell only on the God eye positive thoughts. The vets coming back, I think this is another great example. That's coming back for these stupid, stupid wars that we have. I'm going to sugarcoat it so you don't know how I feel. But, you know.
I got it. I received that.
But, you know, Vietnam, Iraq, now Afghanistan, Pakistan, it's just ridiculous. But anyways, look at the contrast. And this is so important to this theory that I am trying to lay out here. Look at the contrast. There is a horrible suicide rate amongst returning veterans. It's the highest it's ever been from any war. And I feel so, so badly, and so empathy and sympathy for those people coming back with no legs and things. But you'll turn on TV again and see wheelchair races. Other veterans who have no legs, and they're just smiles on their faces. They're racing down the racetrack with each other. I saw a team. They formed teams of wheelchair basketball players, guys with no legs. They're in their wheelchairs. You know, they come back, and they do things like wheelchair basketball. How do we explain this difference? And it's easy to explain once you understand Satan eye and God eye. I saw a one-legged world-class high jumper He goes bounding down the track and jumps over the stick, the pole, with great agility, and holds a world-class record on that. My wife is addicted to Dancing with the Stars, so every now and then I'll watch. I'm not addicted, I assure you. But I happened to watch it when, again, they had dancers in wheelchairs. Yeah. Boy, we see this over and over and over again, how some people who have the same exact events come into their lives with diametrically opposed results. It's, I just wish I could get everybody to understand that the thoughts you dwell upon determine who you are. They determine whether you're a Hitler or a Mother Teresa. I almost chortle about this because I think I respect this coach. One of the programs I was watching, the coach is screaming and yelling at these people who have artificial limbs, but they're into gymnastics and they're into competition and all kind of different physical, when you go up, I'm thinking of telethon, but that's not what I'm trying to say. It's the other one anyways. But he's yelling at these young people who have come back from the wars and they have artificial limbs. He says, he's yelling, nothing can stop you. You're made of metal. So I guess he obviously had established a good relationship with them before you can go out and yell things like that. Yeah.
Well, Mike, do you have any other words of wisdom for us?
Well, yeah, I could probably start all over and dig out a whole lot of other things. Once you get, especially a lawyer who used to get paid by the word, there's so many what I think are words of wisdom. But I just hope that I have impressed on at least one person that you got to control these thoughts that you dwell upon because they determine who you are. You know, a guy like Manson is a guy like Manson because he's a sociopath and the laws don't apply to him. And so now, you know, I'm sure he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. They're not going to ever let him out, I wouldn't think. And the guys that drop down on top of hand grenades, throw their helmets down and drop down on top of hand grenades. I mean, what causes them to do that? It's clearly the love that they have for their fellow man. They're dwelling on those love-type thoughts. Dwell on love-type thoughts, and you will do acts of love. You dwell on vicious, horrible thoughts about being the superior race and going to have your gang that's going to be stronger than any other gang. And you know, it just leads to such a waste of life and limb. We don't talk enough about our thought dwelling. It should just be taught from kindergarten on up, and it should be manifested by the news every day that we look at. This is the effect of your thought dwelling. But unfortunately, at least I never heard of it, and I don't think it's being taught anyplace. And it's so bad because, as I say, it does determine who you become.
And we have certainly been through a period where we've had a lot of thoughts in our presence through our media, and I really appreciate that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and we are not our circumstances, and we are not the things that happen to us. We are truly our thoughts and the choices we make about them.
Right.
And so I would like to close out our time together. First of all, I would like to share with your wife that she is dancing with a star that is shining very brightly in a world that really needs your truth and the truth that you're sharing with them. So your time and all of the things you're doing, your books, your talks, your being guest and things, is a gift to mankind. And are changing lives, and you're giving the opportunity to everyone who hears you. So I'm grateful for that, Mike, and for stepping out and doing what you're doing. So share with our audience how they can get your book, The Spiritual Healing, Making Peace with Your Past, and anything else you would like to share with them about contacting you to speak to groups or whatever.
Oh, well, I really appreciate this very much. And I don't take credit for these things. I do believe there is a higher power, and I do believe in the higher power, and I'm just a conduit. I'm not smart enough to come up with these ideas, so I accept the fact I'm just a conduit for a higher power. You know, Jesus talked about what you just said. If you know the truth will set you free. Well, what was he talking about? You know the truth. He wasn't talking about scientific truth. You know, when I was working on the atom bombs, E equal MC squared, PV equal NRT, E equal IR. I mean, I could go on all evening with these formulas that are perfectly good formulas, and they're the formulas that allowed us to put a man on the moon, and they are uncontradictable type formulas. But those formulas don't set you free, not at all. So that's not what he was talking about when he says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. We could talk about just obvious truths. If you look at the sky, it's blue. It appears to be blue. Now, we know it's not really blue, but it appears to be blue. We have all kind of truths like that. They're not really scientific truths, but they have a shadow of being scientific. But those aren't the truths that will set you free. It's these truths, these kind of truths that we're talking about tonight that are so important that will set you free. If you'll accept the truths that we've talked about, that I alone am responsible for how I feel every conscious moment of my life, that will set you free. And I'm convinced that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. And the other great spiritual leaders were the same mind bent. If anybody's interested in the book, Spiritual Healing, Making Peace with Your Past, it's available. It should be available in most bookstores. It certainly is available on Amazon.com. And just contact them, of course, and they'll get back. I looked at it. There's some good prices on there for the used ones. So, and the truth's going to be in the used ones as well. Well, I should mention that, though. There's actually, it's in its second printing. So first printing is gone, except for what's left in the various bookstores, I suppose. The revised edition just came out. And it's not a whole lot of difference, but there is some very nice smoothing out of the concept from the first edition. So it's available Amazon, bookstores, Spiritual Healing, Making Peace with Your Past. And I would encourage anybody who would like to contact me, I would very, very much like to talk to them through the email or go to my website. My website, and the book can be bought there, is http://Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Hider, H-I-D-E-R, that's all together, period, Tate, T-A-T-E, author, A-U-T-H-O-R, .com. So http://, Michael Hider, period, Tate, author, period, .com. That's the website. And if you'd like to contact me with any comments or talk about a speaking engagement, which I very much enjoy doing, my email address is ENDR for enduring, ENDR, PC for peace, enduring peace, of OF, mind, MIND, at gmail.com. So enduring peace of mind at gmail.com. E like Elmer, N like night, D like day, R, P like Paul, C like Coke, O F M like Michael, IND at gmail.com. Be glad to hear from anybody.
Well, Mike, thank you. And audience, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, take a deep breath and just speak gratitude for Mike and his journey and his sharing. And this is Linda Brewer, your destiny architect. I can be reached at lindab@lindasbrewer.com or 864-205-2518. We appreciate you. You matter. Go and create choices for a great life. Thank you for joining us. Good evening.